Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time. By the grace of God, we've been bringing these messages for 21 years now. And so we praise the Lord for that. We thank the Lord for this radio station, all the prayers and provision, and most of all for you, the listener. If this is your first time tuning in today, we say welcome to you. We hope you come back each and every Sunday and make this a regular stop on your Sunday schedule. And for those of you who've been with us for many years, we appreciate you. We say thank you to you, and we hope you also continue to come back each and every Sunday. Today, we're going to be talking about suffering for Jesus. This is a new topic we're getting on the next couple of weeks, and so we want to take a look at what it means to be a Christian, what it means to suffer for Jesus, to walk in his footsteps, to carry your own cross. And so this is going to be a big, very pertinent topic for those of you who want to go deeper with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll take up this message, turn to Matthew chapter 16. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry, coming to you from Africa today, from Kenya, bright and sunny here in Kenya. Before we get into the message, just want to give you a brief update what's going on here in Kenya. We're in the election cycle in Kenya. The election will be just about 1 year from now. And so we are praying for peace. We're praying for a cessation of the violence. There's been some election rallies already started, campaigning already started, and there's been a significant amount of violence associated with those rallies. And so we're praying that that will cease and the election cycle will take place. It will go on with peace and parties will respect each other. Parties will respect their space, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, all of those things that we take for granted there in the U.S. And we pray for that for the country of Kenya. We're building a school out at Makunda Village right next to the children's home. We have an acre of land, and we're building a school for primary students. There'll be 200 to 300 primary students there. Not only the students from our own children's home, the Living Water Children's Home, but there'll be children coming from all over Makunda Village, and it'll be a day school. They'll be learning the ABCs, be a good platform to get a good basic education, and at the same time, it'll be an opportunity to share the gospel with them. The school is going to be steeped in a Christian environment, and so it'll be an opportunity to reach those who maybe don't hear about Jesus or know about Jesus, and so it'll be an evangelism tool to reach those from Makunda Village. So pray about your part in that. If you want more details on the project, we're trusting the Lord for $200,000. So if you want more details, email me pureprairie@hotmail.com. That's pureprairie@hotmail.com, and we'll fill you in on details of that project. So today we're going to be talking about suffering for Jesus, and this is a big topic in especially the New Testament because Jesus calls us to take up our own cross, and so this is going to be a big subject in our own life. If you're a baby believer, we are happy you are in the family of God. We're happy you're in the body of Christ, but you can expect persecutions. You can expect suffering. You can expect to be tested in your Christian faith. That's just part of being a Christian, and even more so this day and age as we see what's happening across the United States. We see a lot of persecution of Christians. It's not like it was a generation or two ago where Christians were pretty much the mainstream of America, and so the thoughts and the actions of Christians pretty much dominated politics. It dominated mainstream. So we have now a whole different situation in America. We have uprisings of other religions who are hostile to the Christian faith, other religions who openly chastise and want to destroy the Christian faith and also destroy Christians. And so this is a very important topic for us. Nobody wants persecution. Nobody seeks persecution, but I can tell you today it's just going to come naturally if you are a Christian in today's world, and so much more so, I believe, as the end time draws near. If you are a Christian in today's world, you're going to face persecution. And for those of us, again, in the United States, this is going to be something maybe you've not experienced before. But if you want to get in the fight is there. If you want to make a stand for Jesus Christ, pick up your cross, then the fight will come to you, and you don't have to go looking for it. The fight will come to you. And so in Matthew chapter 16, open your Bible there to Matthew chapter 16, and Jesus is talking to Peter, and he just finished asking them, "Who do you say that I am?" And I'm not going to preach on that today, but Peter says that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so then immediately after that, Jesus starts to tell them that he has to go to Jerusalem, that this is the plan for his life. He has to go to Jerusalem. He has to make his appearance there. And he knows in his spirit what's coming after that. He knows in his spirit there's going to be suffering. There's going to be a termination of his life eventually. And Jesus knew all of that because he knew his Father's business. He knew why he was sent to the earth. He knew why he was sent to give the message. But the greatest message was that he was going to die on the cross and shed his perfect, precious blood for all mankind on the cross. So Jesus was already looking for the cross and looking ahead to the cross. So in verse 21, Matthew 16, it says, "From that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day." And so there it is right there, the word suffer. And of course, we know when you get back to the end chapters of the book of Matthew, well, all the Gospels, when you get back to the end chapters, then you start to see the suffering that Jesus went through, the passion of the Christ, the hanging on the cross, and also the suffering he suffered at the whipping post. And every way that he shed his precious blood for us was a suffering that Jesus went through and submitted to, because it was his Father's will. His Son would take the punishment for our sins. His Son would be the payment, the propitiation, and his blood would be the payment for our sins. And so it was said that he is going to Jerusalem and he must suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and be raised on the third day. Verse 22, "Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.'" And this is the world's response to Christians. Many times people will try to talk you out of suffering for Jesus. Many times people will try to talk you out of going on a mission trip. They don't want to see you suffer. They don't want to see you inconvenienced. They don't want to see you even leave your home or your farm or your family. And Peter was doing the very same thing. This is the natural response to what Jesus had already spoken, that he was going to Jerusalem, that he was going to have to suffer, that he was going to be killed. And so Peter thinks he's going to be the hero, and he's going to tell Jesus then, "Lord, this shall not happen to you. I'm going to help you avoid these things." And so Jesus turns around, verse 23, he turned and he said to Peter, and he said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." And so this is Jesus' response to the human response. Peter was speaking up as a human. He was speaking what we hear many times as missionaries or people who want to do something extraordinary for the kingdom of God. People stand in our way. Even good, meaningful Christians, good, faithful Christians will stand in your way. They'll try to talk you out of it. They'll try to say, no, don't go there. It's too hot. The temperature isn't right. The food isn't right. You'll get sick or you're going to get persecuted there. And Jesus rebuked Peter because this was the work of the devil to try to stand in the way of what God had ordained for Jesus to do. Peter thought he was doing the right thing, but Jesus put him in his place. And not only that, Jesus said, you have a devil, you have Satan. He rebuked him, and he rebuked Satan in Peter's life and said, you're standing in the way of the things of God. You are not speaking God's things. You're not speaking of the kingdom agenda. You're speaking of man's agenda. And Jesus rebuked him very severely, and I'm sure it was very painful to Peter, but it shut him up, and Satan had to go at that point because Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. And so there was a picture of deliverance right there. Jesus spoke to Peter in a very severe way and cast Satan out of him, at least for that moment in time. It didn't last too long because at the crucifixion scene, Jesus was hanging on the cross, and Peter denied Jesus three times. So Satan was still in Peter. He was still oppressing him and trying to get him to lie, trying to get him deceived. And so Peter worked with Satan at the scene of the cross. Peter didn't want to be suffering. He didn't want to take on the same suffering that Jesus was taking on. And so he denied Jesus three times on the cross. And so then Jesus goes on to say, he's using this situation as a teaching point for the disciples. He goes on to say, then Jesus said to his disciples, verse 24, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 25, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Well, this is a very deep teaching right here. Some of the most important words for us that Jesus ever spoke. And these words give us direction in ministry. They give us direction in our Christian life. They give us direction when we ask ourselves, are we doing enough? Are we doing what God has called us to do as Christians? It's great to go to church every Sunday. It's great to read your Bible. It's great to be in the fellowship. It's great to pray. All of those things are necessary, very necessary, and vital parts of the Christian walk. But I tell you, God will not leave you where you're at. The Holy Spirit will speak to you if you're a born-again believer, if you're truly born again, and you have the Holy Spirit of God giving you counsel, and He is your advocate, He is your comforter, He is your counselor. If you are listening to the Holy Spirit, He is speaking to you to go higher and higher into the kingdom, to give up more, to go to the place of your destiny, to go into the place of your fulfillment in the kingdom of God, and He will not leave you alone. If you're a baby Christian and you are born again and you're listening for the Holy Spirit, He will constantly be talking to you about fulfilling your destiny, which is kingdom fulfillment, which is kingdom searching for what God has called you to do. And beloved, it's always something that's going to make you uncomfortable. It's always something that's going to cause you to go higher. It's always going to cause you to give up something that you think is vitally important in your life. You're going to have to give it up, because every time you are called to go higher in the kingdom of God, every time the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, I want you to do this, or I want you to do that, or there's an open door for you here, or an open door for you over there, every time the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you're going to have to give up something in your life that is important to you. And that's why Jesus goes on to say, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Well, you have your own things in your life, your own ambitions, selfish ambitions in many cases, and you have those things all set in order in your life, your career, your relationships, the sports teams you like to watch on TV. Everything in your life is already set in place. And when you become a Christian, God is going to start challenging you on those things, even the relationships you have, the people that you hang around with. He's going to challenge you, and he's going to ask you to give things up that are very important to you, that you think are essential in your life, and you think you can't give them up. But God is going to challenge you to give them up. That's what Jesus says when he says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. He didn't desire in his Son of Man nature. He didn't desire to go to the cross. Who would ever want to go to that kind of suffering? Who would ever want to do that? Nobody. And yet Jesus did it out of obedience to the Father. He took up his cross and he went to that cross and he let them nail him on that cross and raised him up. And Jesus said, if I be raised up, I will bring all men unto me. And so he went to the cross out of obedience. The Bible says Jesus was obedient to the Father in every way, even to the point of death on the cross. And so when God calls us to pick up our cross and carry it daily, he's calling us to participate in the suffering of Jesus Christ. Just as a part of my personal testimony, when I was given the call to come to Africa, the Lord gave me a dream back in 2010, spring of 2010, and he showed me, he was opening up the door for me to come to Africa, and there was a big wide door of opportunity, a big wide door for me to come preach crusades and reach the people of Africa for the kingdom of God. And my human reaction was, I don't want to do it because I was going to have to leave my farm, leave my family, and leave the things that were important to me. I thought I was going to be going to Costa Rica. I had a very nice ministry, I guess you could say comfortable ministry, going on down there with the Quebecer indigenous people. And yet God opened up a door for me. He showed me, I want you in Africa. And I had no relationship with anybody in Africa, didn't know one single person here, and had no real desire to come here. I had people, when I started to share this dream that God had given me, I started to share it with people. Some people said, oh, you're going to get sick there. Everybody that goes to Africa gets sick. They get malaria, they get cerebral malaria or whatever, and all of these stories about Africa, the dark continent, you know, the stories that go with this place. And so it was a challenge for me, and even greater than that was the challenge to give up living on my farm. I loved farming. I had acreage there, was growing organic produce and wheat, and I loved to do that. And yet God said, you're going to have to give this up. You're going to have to deny yourself and pick up your cross and carry it daily. And so I prayed and I asked the Lord, Lord, give me the courage, give me the strength, give me the grace to do what you have called me to do, because it's something in my own strength, in my own estimation of myself. I'm not qualified, I'm not worthy to stand on a platform and speak the word of God to thousands of people. And yet when the call came, the physical call, a brother called me from Florida, said, Jim, we're going to Nairobi, Kenya, and we need a good preacher to go with us, and we've got a big team, worship leaders, worship singers, and ladies and people to work in orphanages there in Kibera, big slum in Nairobi. And so the call came, and he said, do you want to go? And I said, yes, I will go, because the Lord has already showed me this is where he wants me, this is what he wants me to do. And so I'm ready to go. Just say the day and I'll be there, and I will go to Africa. And so when you say to the Lord, Lord, here am I, send me, and you pray about being sent, and you pray about going higher with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the kingdom of God and preaching the gospel or speaking the gospel, sharing the gospel with people who don't know about Jesus and with people who have never heard the gospel before. You be prepared in your heart, because God will take that seriously if you are praying, "Lord, here am I, send me." God will take it seriously, and the call will come, and God will send you sometimes to a place you've never even heard of, some place that you don't even know exists. God will send you in places that are a surprise to you, and you will find out that God will take care of you in those ways. He'll replace those things that you give up. God replaced the farm that I gave up in USA. We have a farm here in Kenya. We're growing lots of fruits and vegetables. We're growing maize, we're growing beans, all the things that I was growing in the U.S., and even more. We've got banana trees, mango trees, and we've got papaya trees, avocado, all the things that I've never grown before. We're growing them here in Kenya. And so God will replace the things that you give up, but He wants to see your heart, and He wants to see what you prioritize in your life if you're truly ready to deny yourself and to pick up your cross and carry it daily. And in verse 25, whoever desires to save his life will lose it, however hard you try to save your life. The way you've got your life put together, everything in order, and everything you think, your hobbies and your sports teams and your family gatherings, your turkey dinners, everything you think you have put in order, God will dismantle that over time if that is not His will. If you're denying the Holy Spirit and quenching the Holy Spirit, and you're not doing what God calls you to do, eventually you're going to get dismantled from that stuff that you have put in order, your life, your selfish ambitions, the things you desire, the things you want. He is going to take those things away from you one at a time. And He says, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. When you lose those things that are the selfish ambitions in your life, when you lose those things that you think you have to have, and you deny the Holy Spirit's prompting to take you higher into the kingdom, those things you think you have to have, the order of your life, the selfish ambitions, God says, when you give those up, you will truly find your life. And I think that is the most important thing about coming to Africa for me, the fulfillment that the Lord has given me, the joy the Lord has given me, the strength the Lord has given me in my weakness. I found that the Lord is my strength, just like the Apostle Paul. In my weakness, I found out the Lord can take care of me in every situation. The Lord can be my provision. I don't have a job, essentially. My job is to feed the people here in Makunda Village and feed the people in Africa the good word of God. That's my job. And I've learned that I don't have to work at a job with a pay scale, a certain hourly pay scale or yearly pay scale. The Lord will take care of me. He will provide for me, and He will provide everything that I need. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And Jesus goes on to say in this passage as He closes up, for what profit is it to a man, or to you, if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And so many people in America, not just in America, but here in Kenya also, but especially in America, because we have such great wealth in that country, and we have such access to all the things, all the material blessings that anybody could ever want any place on the earth. Nice cars, nice houses, everything in the tech world, computers, phones, everything, the best of everything. And Kenyans, yes, they have desire for material things, but those things are completely out of reach for the majority of Kenyans. And so the people in the U.S., you have those things that are right in front of your eyes, and they're reachable. They are a possibility for you in your life. And so many people, they give their whole life to pursuing material things. And so that's what Jesus is referring to here. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And by the whole world, he means not just the material things, but fame, fortune, everything that goes with the systems of the world. You can have those if that is what you pursue. That is what you will have. That will be your reward. And so he says, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Are you willing to exchange your soul for the things that you desire, your selfish desires, and not answer to the call of God in your life, not answer to that upward call in your life? That's what Jesus is asking you today. Have you traded your life for material things, for fame and fortune, or have you denied yourself and say, Jesus, I want to serve you. Jesus, here am I, send me. Jesus, here am I. Let me be a teacher. Let me be an elder. Let me be a pastor or a preacher. Let me be an evangelist. Lord, you make the way. I'm submitting myself to you. And when you do that, beloved, God says, oh, I love that when I see a man lay down his life, when I see a man pick up his cross and carry it daily. The Lord says, oh, I love that, and I'm going to honor that, and I'm going to reward that person in that life. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for 21 years bringing these messages to you, and we praise God for this day. I hope you come alongside this ministry. I hope you appreciate these messages and enjoy these messages. I hope you come alongside this ministry. Help us get that school built there in Macunda Village for the blessings of yourself, for the blessings of the kingdom, for the blessings of the children there in Macunda. Many of them don't have a decent school to go to. And so I pray that you will step up, sit down today, write us out a check. Send a check to Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. You can check us out on PayPal at paypal.me/GatherTheOutcast. Use your debit or credit card there. And you can also see pictures of the ministry on our Facebook page, facebook.com/JimRowe. And see the pictures of all the exciting things going on here in Africa. Thank you again for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.